Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
For tuning in to There's New Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday, and truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I also have on the line my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise the Lord. And do we have my good friend and mentor, Dr. G? You still on the line?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Amen. It's good to be on the line tonight. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Sheila G., we are still in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, and on last week, we were discussing the night when Jesus was betrayed and how he had gotten with his inner circle and went to a place called Gethsemane to pray because it was getting close to time for him to be betrayed, and he was in need of prayer. And we discussed how it was important to have a fellowship with other believers to help us get through difficult situations, that when we're weak, they can help us out, and when they're weak, we can help them out, and the importance of having fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And that's one of the things that when we look at this particular passage of Scripture is one of the reasons why Jesus, when he began his earthly ministry, I believe, Dr. G, correct me if I'm wrong, his earthly ministry was about 3.5 years where he was actually out doing ministry. And at the beginning of that earthly ministry, he was baptized by John. Once he was baptized, the Holy Spirit, the Bible said, it descended on him like a dove when he went straight away out of the water, and it lightened upon him. And his Heavenly Father said, voice from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he was carried out into the wilderness to be tempted or tested by the devil for 40 days. And when he came out, his testing was immediately brought to bear, where the devil asked him, you know, if he'd be the son of God, because he was hungry after he fasted, that he would ask the stones to be made bread. And Jesus told him that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so I go back to that, is that the physical is always going to be tested. We're always going to be tested in the physical. And the first thing that Satan did when Jesus was getting ready to start his open earthly ministry was to attack his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And these passages of scripture, Jesus is struggling in the flesh. The spirit is there because it lightened on him like a dove. He went and fasted for 40 days and it was preparation for ministry. When he came out, he was hungry. But the first thing happens is you get attacked in the flesh. And I think those two points are vitally important for us to see that anytime that you're in ministry, anytime that you're doing the will of God, and that was one of the things that he told John the Baptist. He said that, you know, John the Baptist said, you should be baptized with me, but Jesus said, suffer to be so now, before we have to fulfill, you know, the kingdom of God or what God wants and do God's will. So anytime you're in ministry and you're trying to do God's will, the area that you're going to be attacked first and most consistently is going to be in your flesh. And we have to know that going in. We have to go in with our eyes wide open, and we have to be prepared to do whatever it is, whether it's a corporate prayer, whether it's a prayer on our own. But Jesus spent time preparing to be attacked in the flesh. And so, Sheila G., one of the things that we want to talk about is how Jesus remembered that, and when he began to watch and pray, he in always said, I want to do the will of my Father. And I believe that in his ministry, he remembered that attack was his flesh, and so he was prepared. And later on we'll see where he said that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. And so he remembered the spirit's ability, the flesh get through times of weakness. Sheila G.
Amen. That's what, one of my expressions that I've used and I continue to use is when you go through challenges to pull on your past victories. Because I believe when you are attacking the flesh earlier on, like you said, like he was earlier on, when we're going through, that's just a building block for the next time that we face adversity or face challenges in life. So you can pull on those past victories, because that just you're prepared as to how to deal with it and how to get through it. And so it's the same parallel here, that as he's going through, he can pull on when he first started his ministry, how his flesh was attacked, and how he used the scriptures to get through that, and once he did, how the angels ministered to him.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, one of the things that when we look at the first sin in the book of Genesis, one of the things that the body struggles with is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So those areas are two areas. Well, you actually say three of them: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, lust and pride of life are dealing with our flesh. And and that's where Satan came in and tempted Eve and Adam. And when they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, it was in their flesh. So sin occurred in this earth in the flesh. And so that seems like that's the angle that Satan always will try to apply to us, because we have the ability to be tempted in the flesh, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And when you think about that whole thing, and the Lord knew that in order to help mankind, Jesus was going to have to be tempted in the flesh. And what we forget sometimes is, yes, he was a spirit, but he was also a man. And he had to feel the same things, the pains, the anguish, everything that we go through in order to help us. And the way that he did it, he left on record for us so that in his flesh, he could have called on angels and everything else, but he dealt with it in the way that he wanted us to deal with it, through prayer, to keep our minds focused on the spirit. But Christ had to deal with the same things that we go through.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like you said, it's the same thing that we go through. And so we pick up in this 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we left off on verse 38, and we pick up on verse 39. It says, and he went a little further, and fell on his face. And when you see where he said he went a little further, and it's something to see that he took this and he kept going, and it's a thing where I think sometimes we get a little discouraged if we try to do too much too fast,
right?
Because I think our expectations will be too much too fast, and then we get discouraged. But he went a little further, but he kept the plan, he kept the focus.
Mm-hmm.
He fell on his face and he prayed. And I think a lot of times when we start off with our prayer, I think sometimes we're trying to pray for too much stuff. I think we need to stay focused on, you know, what it is that we really need to pray for, and not try to cover the whole world. I think sometimes we try to cover the whole world, but sometimes you just need to focus in on what's at hand, and I think that will help us to be able to draw in and be able to get to the will of God, because sometimes we're just running our mouth and we're not really focusing in on what the will of God is. And so Jesus went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." In other words, he knew that he had to stay focused on getting to the will of God, that whatever he ultimately was going to do, that it was going to be the will of God. But at the same time, he realized, or he struggled in the flesh, that it was okay, and this is what I think people sometimes are scared, it's okay to be real with God and say, hey, if it be possible, I'm not feeling this thing.
Amen.
I'm going to get right to the point, God. I'm not feeling this. And sometimes you have to do that. And I find myself doing that sometimes. God, I'm not feeling this. You know, I need some help right now. But ultimately, I want to do your will. But I'm struggling with this thing right now. And you can be real with God. I mean, God he understands. Like you said, Dr. G, He knows what we went through. He went through it in his flesh, and so we can be real with him. And this is a perfect example where Jesus wasn't feeling it in the flesh.
And
he just went a little bit further, and he got in a position of prayer, and he was struggling with that thing, but he was in a place where, and I looked up the word Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place of where they took olives and they pressed them in the oil. So this is a place of oil press, a place of oil, a place of pressing. And so when you get in a place of pressing, You know, you get in a place where there's a pressure on you, and so you got to learn to press into God when the pressure's on you. And so here Jesus is pressing into God in the place of pressure so that he could relieve the pressure that was on it. And so you got the pressure building up, and he's pressing into God, and it's a place of where he would go to get his relief. And he's telling God, for real, you know, if this be possible, up.
Right.
And I always tell people in our congregation, the cup had your sins and my sins in it.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to drink it. And then I didn't make it personal. It said my sins were in it. I don't care about it. You know, my sins were the cause of his death. You know, we always like to point the finger. But he died for all of our sins. So I say, I'm in that cup. And he didn't want to face Kayshawn's cup.
That's right.
But he pressed in the place of pressing, and he was real with God, and he said, God, I'm struggling with this in the flesh, but in the spirit, I want you to let me be able to accomplish what your will is in my life. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, as you're talking about him being a place of the pressing, the one thing that is real to me is that Jesus was sinless, but he still had to go through challenges, still had to go through pain, he still had to go through hurt, he still had to go through adversity. And a lot of times we as Christians, and we were kind of talking about this in Sunday school, is we think that just because we go through something, it always has to do because we did. It's not always that. It's sometimes it's to make us stronger, and by Jesus doing that, who is perfect, and he still, like you said, he had to go through, he laid before the Lord and basically said, God, I don't know if I can do this, I can't handle the pressures too much. Let me know that, you know, because Christians will say that to you, oh, well, you must be, like Job's friend, well, you go, friends, well, you're going through, or this has happened, or you got sicknesses in your family, you got this, then you must have done.
What did you do?
And here's Jesus is saying, no, there's going to be times so you don't have to feel guilty about going to God, saying, God, this is too much for me. What did I do? You can just literally say, God, this is too much for me. Help me get through. But the people around you, which I think is why he had to kind of, first he took all the disciples, then he had his inner circle, and then it was just him and God. Because people will distraction and will keep you from being open and honest with God that the pressure's too much, because they're in your ear saying that you're going through this because of something that you did or didn't do. You might not, you must not have enough faith, and you can't haven't done this, you haven't done that, and that's what people hear in a time of adversity. They need to hear, put it in God's hand, go to the Lord, lay prostrate before Him, and Jesus has given us this example that we can do that. And not feel guilty, like that we're not worthy, even though we aren't worthy. But we still can do that and say to the Lord, this is too much for me. Because Jesus understands, because he did it himself.
Amen. 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 Dr. G, can you expound on what is in that cup that he didn't want to deal with?
Well, when you put it like that, you think about, here was all of the sins of the world. I mean, you had anger, you had envy, you had jealousy, you had hatred in there. Everything that we feel was in that cup. And here he had to bear it. And I'm going to be honest with you now. I don't know if I could have done that, but I would have been as real as Christ was with the Lord. No. And like you say, he does, at that moment in the flesh, when he started looking at that cup and all the mess that was in there, no, he was not feeling it.
Yeah, all the mess, past, present, and future, is in this cup. And I think sometimes we don't take time to express the gravity of what this cup is. This cup is the sins of the world, past, present, and future, that he was going to have to deal with. And you know, you put it in a cup, it's like, oh, that's a little three-letter word. Oh, it's like a little coffee cup. Oh, yeah, you know. This is the worst drink in past, present, and future of the mess that sin caused this world is in this cup. And and I think sometimes we downplay the cup. It's like, oh, he's just talking about a drink. Oh, you know, it's, you know, it's, this is no big deal. Why is he getting stressed out over a cup? But everyone has a cross to bear.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, Sheila G, you know, sometimes people will poo-poo your cross. Like, oh, you ain't dealing with nothing. Oh, they ain't dealing with nothing. But your cross to you is like this cup to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not it's not the same magnitude of Jesus, but in your in our individual situations, when we deal with stuff, it's real. And that's why I try to tell people, don't go into a depression about, oh, if I say, you know, say something, people are going to think it's not this big deal. And people do try to make you feel bad about what you're going through or the struggles that you have in the flesh. But you have to understand that this is a real thing to people. I tell people this is real. When people go through things, you know, and they have issues, don't poo-poo them. Like, it's not a big deal. This is real. This is real to people. And that's why a lot of times people commit suicide, is because they don't know how to deal with it. And the people that they try to go to, they tell them, oh, just, you know, suck it up and, you know, just deal what you got to do with. But these things are real to people. You know, spiritual attacks, physical attacks, they're real.
Yeah.
And you just can't discount them and tell them, oh, that ain't nothing. It's just a little cup. Don't worry about it. But understand that people are human and they go through stuff and they have a cup, they have a cross, and we should be compassionate enough to be able to watch and pray. And so when he's telling them to watch and pray, what he's telling them is to understand that there's always something coming. You know, it's like as soon as you pray on one thing, you open your eyes, something else is coming. And so as you're watching, you have to watch and pray, because if you don't, those things will pile up on you. So you have to, on a daily basis, pray and then make sure that you're prayed up, because something else is coming. So you pray and then something else is coming. That's why we pray on a regular basis. That's why we have our corporate prayer. That's why we have our individual prayer. That's why we pray every day, because when you pray, you're dealing with what's there and understanding that something else is coming. Every day has enough sin. I can't remember the exact quote of the Bible, but every day has enough trouble for that day. And so you deal with that day and then understand tomorrow's a new day, but there's more trouble coming on that day. Sheila G.
Amen. And it is. And that's why you have to have that prayer gives you that covering every day, that you have that covering. Otherwise, you'll lose control, because we can't deal with the demons of this world in the flesh. We see people We see that in our leadership of our country, trying to deal with that from a human standpoint and just get all twisted up and tied up and making deals with the devil. And so we have to pray every single day to give that covering, so we won't be taken off guard, so we won't react without thinking, so we won't just have these knee-jerk emotions that just yank us from here, there, and take us out of ourselves and completely out of control. Because by praying, that puts you, that's one, letting the enemy know I talk to God, so you can't mess with me, because I got the Holy Father will come and keep. He ain't gonna let you do but so much.
Right.
He is in control. So when he sees that, he realizes that the attacks are gonna come, but they cannot be as effective, because we are putting it, it may knock us down, but we'll get back up, because we are putting it out there that I trust in the Lord. Whatever I go through, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Whatever happens, I'm good. Because if we don't do that, we see it more and more in this world that has lost its moral compass, that the enemy is wild, and everybody just falls for any and everything. You know, I thought it was really interesting the other day when you were talking about Pharaoh and how, you know, the hardening of the heart, that, you know, and that's what happens when you don't have that relationship with God.
Amen. And you look at, when he said a little further, I just want to go back as we go to this next verse where he's talking to his disciples, in particular Peter, he's talking to him about 1 hour. And I love when we first started our Bible study, Dr. G would say, just 1 hour, just 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And here, it exactly what you were saying, Dr. G, and what Jesus was saying, a little farther. He went a little farther. He went just a little farther. And in the grand scheme of things, if God sees our little bit and sees us just a little bit,
that's right,
to make an effort, you know what I'm saying, in the flesh, then that he rewards that effort. He honors our faith. And and in that verse 40, he says, and he cometh unto his disciples and find them asleep. And too many times, and I'm just going to keep it real, Dr. G, I think sometimes folks are asleep, whether there is prayer service, whether it's Sunday school, whether it's time for worship, time for church. I think folks are asleep. I think that's one of the things we have to watch for in the flesh, is that one of the ways that we say it's okay not to be prepared or be in Sunday school or worship is that we say the flesh is tired and I'm ready to sleep. And that's one of our big excuses. And he said, you know, he found them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour of prayer was enough for Jesus to be able to get the spirit, the flesh out of the control of the spirit, to go deal with the sins of the world. And we don't have a little bit of time. We can't go a little bit further. We can't take just 1 hour to understand if we as a church body, as a family, husbands, wives, and kids would take that little bit of time out of our day to pray with each other to God, how better off our families, our relationships, our churches we would be if we took that just that little bit of time. Dr. G?
Well, you know, you touched on something. You know, we forget the Bible says that we ought to pray without ceasing. And that means we ought to pray at all times. And especially, you know, our people, you know, we forget where we came from. You know, back in the old days during the slavery days, and even when you know, our parents were coming up, you know, that old time meetings and how they would stay in church all night, then all day.
Yes, they would.
Tired.
Yep.
But we live in this modern day time now. You know, we want to do things differently. And like you said, you know, we can't spend not even an hour with the Lord. You got some folk who come to church late because they overslept or because they're doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got those folks who just won't come because they're doing other things or they're in bed. So they don't feel like
coming.
And you know, this whole thing of, you know, we can't get out of our emotions and ourselves just to go spend a little bit of time with the Lord. But yet, let something happen. Let a pain hit us or something that we're about to go through. Then all of a sudden, we get real spiritual.
We got time.
To come right then and there and see about us.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget that, okay, so where were you on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
How come you didn't spend a little time with the Lord? And God knows we won't even talk about football season. You know, the church is empty. They'll go to the game, and what gets me, they got the nerve to put that game on Facebook. But yet, when they do go to church, they won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole mindset nowadays that, you know, we got time for everything else, but we just don't have time to give to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And he just says a little further. A little further.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour. He asked Peter, you could wait, watch with me 1 hour? Look at that question, Sheila G. He said, 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Which again,
is it
shows how Jesus will get frustrated too.
Hello.
I'm sorry?
Just 1 hour.
You know how they say the pastor is not supposed to get upset with the deacons and all this other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And you won't do right.
But the thing is, here it is, the example right in front of us that
mm-hmm.
says what Jesus did to help him get through the most challenging
right.
part of his life.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was to go to his Heavenly Father in prayer. And he did this because in verse 41, again, he understands what he's dealing with as far as with his flesh and the enemy. The watch is to watch out for the enemy and his tactics, and to pray is to turn to your advocate, who is the Father, that can help you deal with the watch.
Right.
So the watch, you're watching out for the enemy, and you're praying
mm-hmm.
to the one, the advocate, your Father, who can help.
Right.
And so you're watching and praying. You're saying, okay, God, this is what's happening, so I'm praying to you to help me with this is what's happening. He said that you enter not into temptation. And the temptation is what the enemy's trying to come to do to you. He's trying to entice you to not do what God wants you to do, to not do God's will. And so you always have to be on guard for that, because that's how the enemy's coming. He's always coming at the flesh first.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus acknowledges that. He tells everybody what the situation is, what the game plan is, what the enemy's game is, how we should deal with it, why we should deal with it. And then he says, the spirit indeed is willing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
Real simple, straight to it, understanding, watch and pray, because temptation is coming, trying to keep you from doing God's will. You're filled with the spirit, but you also are in the flesh. The spirit is willing,
mm-hmm.
but the flesh is weak. And so you have to focus in with God, saying, God, help my spirit to be strong enough to be able to endure this testing or this temptation, that I won't yield to the flesh, so that I can do your will and your will be done. Real
right.
simple, straightforward, but I think a lot of times people are lulled into this false sense of security that the enemy is not coming for it. Sheila G.
That is truly a false sense of security. And that's what Satan wants you to have, that false sense of security, so he can sneak up on you and you will yield to temptation, hence why it's important for us to pray without ceasing, to put, one, the enemy on notice that it's not going to be that easy, and two, to know that God is protecting us.
And Dr. G, I think sometimes people think we're just doing this for our health, or just to show people how intelligent we are or how much we know about the Bible. This is like war preparation. I think sometimes people don't understand this is war preparation. We're trying to prepare you for battle. We're trying
mm-hmm.
to tell you from the roaring lion that's walking to and from the oar, to and fro
mm-hmm.
in the earth, seeking to devour you.
Yep,
you know,
that's
and,
right.
and it's like you. I'm not doing this to show off. I'm not trying to do this to show how much I know. I'm not trying to do this to be, you know, puffed up or anything. We're trying to do this to equip people for the work of the ministry. And in the work of the ministry, you're going to have to fight spiritual warfare. And if
right.
you don't have any word, the Holy Spirit has nothing to work with. If you don't
right.
have any word, then you have nothing to work with. And so I think, Dr. G, I think sometimes people just, you know, they don't think that this is something that they need. And because they don't think they need it, they don't grasp the importance of being disciplined enough to be able to get it and to be prepared, so they can be prepared to do the work, to do battle with the enemy. And I think they just go out there and get tore up, beat up, beat down, and they tore up and beat down because they're not prepared with the word of God. Dr.
Amen.
G.
And two, with that, I think a lot of times, you know, folk come up, they join the church, but they're not really serious about their walk with Christ. You know, it's more of an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
They get up at that time, the Spirit is working, but they get up, they come to join the church, and they may have the right intentions up front, but then as soon as they leave the church, and I share with folk, you know, as soon as you leave out that church, the enemy is going to attack you. And
mm-hmm.
that's why to begin that spiritual journey, doing the things that's going to help you grow in the body of Christ. And
Amen.
Too often, they start out, but they stop doing the thing. They stop praying. They definitely not like they should. They stop going to church. So everything that the Bible prescribes for us to help us draw closer to the Lord, we stop doing. And then we think that we can handle everything on our own. You know, like we were talking about, I think it was John the Baptist or Peter, whoever. But we can't handle it. I mean, you know, I tell folks, I'm still developing. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Now, I'm stronger now than what I was when I started out, what, 40-some-odd years ago. But I'm still doing battle with the Lord. I'm a little better off because I have more word in me now. The strength is there, but the enemy is still attacking.
Amen.
But now I know how to resist him. I go to the Lord.
And that's mature. That's maturity, and Sheila D, that's why in Tina it says study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know, every time before we have Bible study, that's a part of our prayer. You know that you know we can study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we can have the rightly divide the word of truth. So we have been instructed, and Paul instructed Timothy to study, to show himself approved unto God, that he can be a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we have to be able to rightly use the word in our lives and our relationship with other people in this world, because if we don't, what will happen is we'll say and we'll do the wrong thing. It's really basic. I was standing outside of a office building this morning, a little before 6 o'clock, and just out of the blue, just only one person on the street came up to me and was out of their mind, just talking some crazy stuff out of their mind. And I said, here comes a person that's being troubled by a spirit, and they're trying to come and to throw me off my game. But all I did was rightly divided the word and spoke to the spirit and spoke to the person, and then they just went on up the street. But it was like, out of all the people on this street at this time of day, here comes the spirit inside this person that's going to come and confront me. And, you know, the maturity of being studied in the word and prepared in the word was able to deal with it in a way that the spirit that was in that person and that person, they both were dealt with, and then they went on about their way. But it was a classic like the spirits, the enemies to and fro, you know, seeking to devour someone or get someone to do something crazy or do something that's not of God. You know, here's a big black guy at night with a hood on, a beanie cap, and this small white female, you know, could have been like a confrontation, you know, of what I'm trying to do to that person. just diffuse, be able to diffuse the situation, you know, with godly wisdom, is what we need, and you have to always watch and pray. And I was like, why is this person coming up to me? And then once that spirit started speaking, I said, oh, I know what this is, and spoke to the situation, and then they went on up the street. But you gotta watch, and you gotta pray, and you gotta study, and you gotta be prepared to be able to handle these things, because you never know when they're gonna happen.
Amen. And a lot of times it's not exactly what you think it'll be, because sometimes demon can be in a suit, a business suit, or in a dress suit, or in an office place, and you have to be bold enough to call it out. You know, I was recently in a situation, and the more I was around that this particular client, the more I saw that demon spirit. And if I wasn't, I was not, because it was one of those sneaky spirits. And but if I wasn't old enough and knowledgeable enough in the Lord, I would have been afraid to say to God, get that demon away from me. Deliver me from. I literally had you on the train one day, because it was starting to get to me, and I was like, you know, I'm usually a generally calm person, but it was, I was like, you know what? That other side of me, that side is going to become Esther. So I literally prayed, and I called it out by name. I said, deliver me from evil. Take that demon, whatever it is, remove it from me, and help me to deal with it. I called it out, but I had to know God's word enough to have a deep enough prayer life to be able to be bold enough to say that. And it was like all of a sudden, that person almost stopped in the tracks immediately. It was like every time they tried to come up again, all of a sudden they became nicer. They realized they couldn't attack me the way that they attacked others. And it wasn't even that I did anything different. But then also I saw that change and how he put that shield of protection around me. Once I called that demon out, I went into prayer and I thanked the Lord for it. Because I acknowledged he was the one that attacked and got that demon spirit. But it was coming at me and coming at me. And if I hadn't been studying God's word and deep in prayer, I wouldn't have been bold enough. Because it's something to really call out a demon. You really have to be spirit-filled. To call it what it is, especially when it doesn't look like the boogeyman on TV.
And just to be aware of those situations, the situational awareness. That's the watch where he's talking about. He's watching and pray. You're aware of your situational awareness of what's going on. And you can still go about your daily activity, but you're aware. There's like a heightened sense of awareness when you have a deep prayer life, where you have a life where you're in a relationship with God, where you're understanding when these things come up, and you recognize when they come up, and you have a relationship with God, and to be able to call it out and deal with it, and realize that if you deal with it in the flesh, it's not going to work. And this is what Jesus is saying. That we had to do it. But if we go to the next verse, in verse 42, a lot of times I used to always hear people say, oh, you just need to pray one time and never pray again. And I was like, well, did they read the whole Bible? They're taking that out of context. Well, if you keep asking about it, it's not faith. It's like, you get that a little bit out of context. Right. Go and follow what Jesus did. And so if you point them to verse 42, it says he went away again. Again means that it's more than once. Again, the second time. And so, you know, I don't argue with people about the Bible, but you have some people that are ignorant, and then you have some false prophets that are telling people, just say it one time, that's it. You know, you don't have enough faith if you keep saying it. Well, who's going to stand up and tell you that Jesus didn't have enough faith? or he didn't have the right relationship with God, or he didn't have the right stuff. There will be some people that will challenge you. Dr. G, I'm sure you've come across many of them. But I just say, well, let's go to the word, and, you know, if it was okay for Jesus, it's going to be okay with me. I'm not going to argue about your doctrine or what you believe. But if it's okay with Jesus, it's okay with me, and we're going to agree to disagree. We're going to move on. But he came a second time. And he prayed. And so you have to be persistent, because the devil is persistent. Again, in the beginning of his ministry, he came with Jesus three times. That's what the record said. You know, he came with him three times, and three times Jesus referred to the word of God to be able to overcome the attack of his flesh. And so when we say you have to continue to be before the Lord, to go to the Lord in prayer, You can't get to a place where you're scared to go to God because you asked him one time, and you think if you go back, you're not asking in faith. You're still in that same flesh, Dr. G. You're still in the same flesh, and that flesh needs some help. It's like saying, well, if I eat one time, I'm going to be good. I don't need to eat no more. No, you're going to need to eat some more, because that's going to weigh off. So the flesh is still weak.
Yeah.
And so he needs to go back and he needs to get more strength from God. And God is the source of our supply, and his supply never runs out. And so that's why it's important for us to realize that we can go to that source of our supply and be strengthened, because as long as we're in this earth, our flesh is going to be weak and we're going to need some type of nourishment, spiritual nourishment, to be able to make it through. That's why we go to worship every Sunday. That's why we go to prayer every day. That's why we attend Bible study on a regular basis. That's why we pray on a regular basis, because you get beat down physically,
right,
mentally, spiritually in the battle. You're never 100% in the battle. You have to recuperate. You got to rest. That's why our physical bodies need to sleep, you know.
Right.
At least, you know, we're supposed to sleep 5-8 hours every evening in order for our cells to regenerate, and for us to just think that we're so naive to think that, oh, I can pray on Sunday and that's going to get me through the week. I don't have to pray. I don't have to read the word. I don't have to do anything else, because I got it all on Sunday. It's naive, and the enemy takes advantage of that. And so here we see Jesus saying, hey, I'm going again because my flesh is still not feeling it. I need some strength. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I was sitting and thinking, and by going again, it helped to keep Jesus focused on his mission. And that's the thing with us, by going back to the Lord in prayer. It keeps us focused on what we are supposed to be doing, because the moment you step away, like you said, the enemy is already attacking you through your flesh and different things, and you have to stay focused on what it is that God wants you to do, because people, they come in all kinds of forms, and like we've said already, you know, the enemy can come in those demons, and they're smart also, and they know how to trip us. So by you going back to the Lord in prayer and you staying in prayer, that's going to keep your focus where it needs to be.
Amen.
Amen. And Sheila G, the Lord never tells you to stop coming.
Nope.
That's right.
Nope.
He never says don't come no more.
Nope.
Nope. He doesn't. Now,
what
happens is sometimes he'll give you peace.
He does.
And let you know it's okay.
It's
but
okay.
That's him speaking to you, saying, I got this. We're going to take care of it. But he doesn't say don't come to him.
Mm-mm.
He wants you to come to him until you do get it, until you do hear from him, until you do, you know, lead God, direct my path. So you'll know, he'll let you know when, you know, okay, I've answered your prayer. You'll know when he's answered your prayer.
Right.
But he's not going to tell you that you can't keep coming until you get an answer.
Mm-mm.
Right, right. And later on in this, he actually came the third time, and then the last time he said it's enough. And when he said it's enough, he was ready to go
exactly.
to face his accusers. But that's why it's so important to get into the Word, because again, you have some false prophets out there, you can have some ignorant folk out there that are teaching some crazy stuff, and it throws people off, and people can be led down a wrong road for years and years if they're not getting the Word, dividing the Word of truth correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It can lead people astray. And you know, Satan, when Jesus, again, we go back to his baptism and his temptation, Jesus quoted the scripture. And it's like, people don't understand that Satan knows the scripture. I think they're so amazing that people, not amazing, but the word I'm looking for, I think that's so, I think it's so challenging that people don't understand that Satan knows the word.
Right.
And a lot of Christians don't know the word. And he's using it, taking it out of context, twisting and distorting it even
right.
with Adam and Eve. Even Adam and Eve, he said God said that so that, you know, he doesn't want you to be like God. You know, that's why he was keeping that from you. You know, he said, haven't God said, don't eat it, and you know, he's just saying that because he's trying to get, so he knows the word, Sheila G, and he's trying to manipulate, take it out of context to deceive us so that we won't obey and do the will of God. And it's such a blatant tactic,
right.
But we can't see it because we're not into the word, Sheila G.
Amen. And you really see it a lot in this modern day politics with evangelicals, where they're God teaches love. God teaches love thy neighbor more than you love yourself, but they support someone who is just the total opposite of God, and the way they do it is they take the word out of context.
Yeah, that was one of the things people used in slavery, the oppressed
exactly.
people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Take the word out of context. Typical satanic move. But you got to get into that word. You got to get into it, and you got to know it for yourself. And David, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And it's so important. And once people start getting into the word, start getting the word inside of them, they begin to start blossoming and mature. But if
right.
God, if Satan can keep that seed from growing, he can keep it from getting water, he can keep it from seeing any sunlight, that's where he wants you to stay. Stay like a mushroom with no sunlight,
right.
so you can't
right.
blossom into what God wants you to be. And it's a shame, and it's disheartening to see people who have all that potential but won't be disciplined enough to take the time to get in the word. Well, we've been running my mouth a whole lot. Goodness gracious, I didn't know it was that late. Oh my gosh. Y'all gonna have to slow me down when I get to running my mouth.
But you know, there's one thing that's good about this, what we've discussed tonight, is that Jesus, in both areas where his flesh was weakened, showed us how to handle it. The first one, like you said, was in the beginning of his ministry, he dealt with that word of God. And here he's going through it towards the end of his ministry, and he dealt with that with prayer. So he gives us the ultimate example in the Bible, in his word, as to how to defeat the enemy and how to overcome the weakness of the flesh by the word of God and then by prayer. And those are like the two biggest examples that he gives through his life as to what we need to apply to our life. But as you and Pastor G have said, you, in order to do it, you have to equip yourself with the scripture and with prayer, a prayer life, an active prayer life, not a, like a two-second prayer life.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to add on to this? I took up all the time tonight.
Well, I too believe that, you know, it's a thing where we have to make up in our own minds as to which direction we're going to go. The Lord gives us direction, and we have to decide whether or not we're going to follow his leadership and be obedient to his will. And what I love about Christ is that, as we've already talked about, you know, he looked in the cup. He saw the sins of the world past and the future, but he decided that he was going to do it. Now, yes, it did get rough, and that he shows us that's the way life
right.
is. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy run of it. But we as individuals, because no one makes us accept Christ, no one is going to make us after him.
Right.
But it's a choice that we have to make, and once we make it, we have to understand the things that it's going to take for us to get the victory. You know, we can't just hit and miss on the church. We can't hit and miss when it comes to studying that word, and we definitely can't just hit and miss when it comes to a good prayer life.
Amen.
You know, all of those things are important, as we said, to feed that spirit. And it's just like we've talked about, if you don't feed the body, you're going to get hungry. You'll eventually die from malnutrition. Well, you can be spiritual
right.
malnutrition.
Right.
And you have to, and in order to defeat the enemy, you got to have something to defeat him with. You know, all that, I mean, the tools that we use nowadays, you know, we'll cuss folk out and all that other crap. I mean, I think I had enough of me that when I did become pastor, I had learned enough and God was still working with me that he gave me what I needed in order to stand up to them demons in the church. Because, see, the demons are not just outside
mm-hmm.
of church.
Mm-hmm.
The whole
demons
is right in there in church.
Mm-hmm.
And they come
mm-hmm.
in there and praising the Lord, did this, that, and the other. But then let
Amen.
Something go the way
Amen.
That they
Keep
don't
real.
Want.
Mm-hmm.
Then you begin to see the real them.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, if it wasn't for Christ in me, you know.
Lord have mercy.
Talking about Vashti and Esther, I could have gone Gregory Southeast on them in a minute. But the Lord kept my mouth. That spirit in me to just shut it down.
Amen.
And let the Lord deal with it.
Amen.
So, you
Amen.
Know, it's a choice, and we have to make that choice. And when you have made up in your mind, I'm going to follow the Lord. I mean, what did Joshua
yeah.
say to people? Are gonna choose ye
this day.
Who
yeah.
are you going to serve?
Right.
As for me
and
my house, we're
mm-hmm.
going to serve.
Amen.
And that's the way that we have to be. We've got to make up in our minds who we're going to follow. And then if we're going to follow the Lord, then take everything that he's put in that word and apply it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. So we're going to close out with prayer. Thank everyone for tuning in tonight and listening in. Next week, Lord willing, we'll take some comments. We'll be more mindful of the time. But let us pray. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you, God, for your word, God. We thank you for your spirit that has led us into these truths about your word. God, we pray that as the psalmist said, your word have we hid in our hearts that we might not sin against you. God, help us to continue to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. God, we thank you for the examples of Jesus in his ministry early on with the word and at the end with prayer. God, that we would be mindful to watch and pray. And, oh, God, that we would use the examples of Christ to be able to get into the word and pray and be effective witnesses for you. And, oh, God, ultimately that when the challenges come, that we too would be able to say, nevertheless, not our will, but your will be done, and that you would receive honor and glory from our lives. You know, God, we pray that until we meet again, that your love, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And we all say amen, amen, and amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Amen. God bless.